5, welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Hour number 2 about to get underway. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire at Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub today. Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Stop on in. We're here until 7 o'clock tonight. Reverse happy hour going for another 55 minutes or so, and then it'll kick back in at 10 o'clock tonight. Jack Dom joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk all things baseball during his weekly Touching All Bases segment. Rob Howe joins me from HawkeyeNation.com at 6 o'clock tonight on the road to East Lansing, where the Hawkeyes will face Michigan State tomorrow. We'll break it all down for you on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5, beginning at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It's before the boom, and then immediately after the game is over, we'll be in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids bringing you our post-game show after the final gun. Here to talk a little college football with us, good friend of the program. Great to have an opportunity to catch up with him again now that we've seen college football for a couple weeks. It's Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. And Adam, I want to start by asking you about Saquon Barkley's performance against the Hawkeyes last week at Kinnick Stadium. And are we going to be seeing some of those highlights in December when the Heisman Trophy is handed out in New York City?
I would imagine. You know, it's a performance that really resonated nationally. And it's important for running backs to have that type of performance early in the season because they don't get naturally as much recognition as the quarterbacks did. And many comments in the preseason were, you know, Saquon Barkley is the best player in the country, but look at these what he did at Kinnick Stadium is changed that conversation. And the good thing for him is there will be at least two more national showcase opportunities when they have Michigan at home and then Ohio State and back-to-back coming up for Penn State in a few weeks. And so those are really the opportunities that he can, you know, again, put himself right in that lead pack and maybe over the top for the Heisman. But you have to look at the history, guys. You know, there's, I think, 14 of the last 17 winners have been quarterbacks. Of those two running backs, two have been Alabama running backs. So it's hard to win this award as a running back, but he certainly helped himself with what he did.
Just in general, is Penn State right now the best team in the Big Ten?
I think they are. I think they're the most complete team, and I think we'll find out long-term if they're the best. But I think at the moment they are because their defense has been really good. They were not great at times last year, even in the Rose Bowl against USC. They kind of let down there at the end against Sam Darnold. But they've come out this year, and they've shut out a couple of teams. They held a pretty decent Iowa offense in check most of the game on last Saturday. And then you know on offense that they have tremendous explosiveness, not just Barkley, but when they get their passing game going with Trace McSorley. Their coordinator, Joe Moorhead, is a very innovative play caller, aggressive play caller, a guy that should soon be a head coach at the FBS level. And you know, they're tough to prepare for. Offensive line has improved. So you know, there really isn't a clear weakness on Penn State. It was the offensive line for several years after the sanction. I don't think that's the case anymore. You know, with Michigan, there's still questions about their offense. Their defense could be the best in the country, but there are definitely some things to answer on offense. Same with Ohio State. You know, they're playing better offensively lately, but it's against much weaker competition. So we're not going to know exactly how good that Ohio State offense is or how much it's improved from the Oklahoma game until they go play a team like Penn State in a few weeks.
Talking about Ohio State, I think a lot of people thought Kevin Wilson was going to come in and sprinkle some fairy dust on the offense and they'd be able to throw the ball down the field unlike what they did at the end of last year. Was that unrealistic to expect right away?
A little bit, yeah. I would say that if you really compare the skill set, there's a lot of coaches around the country. It shows them as a really good running quarterback, yes, obvious limitations as a passer. And I don't know if a new play caller can really fix those. Yeah, I think you can obviously put guys in positions to make plays in the passing game, but taking a bunch of shots, I don't think it's ever going to be the way that JT Barrett has a lot of success. So, you know, I think it's up to Kevin Wilson and Ryan Day, the quarterback coach, to adjust to who they have right now, and that's JT Barrett. And, you know, that, the good thing is that, you know, they have that opportunity because the schedule has softened up so much. You know, the last few weeks, UNLV, we've got Rutgers coming up, Maryland, which is a banged-up team in a few weeks. So This is an opportunity for Ohio State to figure things out, to try some different things, because they want to have the best game plan possible as when they have a team like Penn State coming in. But you don't want to make JT Barrett something that he's not, and he's never going to be that consistent downfield passer.
Adam Rittenberg joining us from ESPN.com. Another Big Ten question here before we move on to things nationally. Nebraska turning to Dave Remington as the interim athletic director. What are your thoughts on what's going on at Nebraska right now, and is this anything that you think that program can eventually overcome and get back to the days that Nebraska fans would like to see it at again?
It's not going to go back to the 90s, but it can certainly go back to being more competitive than it's been in recent years. There's no reason why Nebraska can't have a Wisconsin-like run of being, you know, in the mix for Big Ten West championships and occasionally, you know, college football playoff run here and there. There's too many resources, there's too much history, but you know, they're not going to go back to 97 where they're winning a national title and dominating the national recruiting scene. So I think most Nebraska fans are realistic about that, but certainly this athletic director move that they made, getting rid of Sean Eichhorst, it clears the way for them to likely make a coaching change unless things really pick up, you know, beginning tonight with their game against Illinois. But you know, they have Wisconsin coming up. They still have Iowa and Penn State in cross-division games. Ohio State and Penn State in cross-division games. They have Iowa, obviously, later in the season. So it's going to be really tough for Nebraska to get this thing on track. And if they don't, I would fully expect a coaching change in Lincoln.
So if there is a coaching change made, I know there's a big game in the AAC this weekend between UCF and Memphis. Will a lot of Nebraska higher-ups have their eyes on that one? Will Scott Frost be option number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
Yeah, I'm okay with Scott Frost being option number 1 or 2, but I think it would be such a disservice, and I'd be curious what you guys think, if Nebraska completely targets a former player who's been a head coach for a year and change. I mean, come on. You know, Scott Frost did a nice job. That's a program, you talk to coaches like I do around the country, that is absolutely a desirable place. And he took over when they come off an 0-12 season, so you can't get any worse. So he stepped into a really good situation. To his credit, he's improved it. But I think Nebraska, whether it's Dave Remington or another person conducting the athletic director, or sorry, the coach search, you owe it to yourself to see who else is interested. And if there's more experienced coaches out there or someone you feel can get you back to a highly competitive level in the Big Ten, I think you need to talk to that person and strongly consider them. I think too many teams fall into the trap of familiarity that, oh, he's a Nebraska guy, let's hire him. And that's nothing against Scott Frost, who I think highly of, but I don't think he should be options number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I think that would be a huge disservice to the program.
I agree with you, and I've said it before on the program in the last week or so, because you start excluding guys, and maybe there's a candidate in that pool that you're not going to look at because he's not a Nebraska guy who could actually help your program maybe a little bit better than Scott Frost. So I think a lot of folks in the Big Ten are going to be interested to see how that plays out at the end of the season. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com with us. From the Big Ten to the Big 12, Dave Boren has been one of the big voices in that conference. He's going to be stepping down at Oklahoma. How do you see that affecting things in that conference?
Well, you know, obviously he was a guy that in some ways set the agenda for the league at times, or at least created things for people to talk about in the conference and consider. And, you know, I sense this is a relatively calm period we're entering in the Big Ten right now. You don't have bombastic leadership at Oklahoma, at least so we know who the next president is. You don't have that at Texas. The leaders at Texas, their president, you know, Greg Fenves, their athletic director, Mike Perrin, are more understated from talking to people who have been in meetings with them. You know, they're more of the thoughtful, you know, let's sit back and process this instead of just shouting as loud as we can because we're Texas or Oklahoma. So that's not all that David Boren did. David Boren did a lot of great things, but I do sense that his departure kind of reinforces this calm period that we're in right now in that conference before, you know, a critical period, which is, you know, the next grant of rights negotiation and whether there'll be expansion or maybe dissolution of the conference as certain members leave. So certainly all eyes remain on Texas and Oklahoma, and we'll see how, you know, Oklahoma's going through a pretty historic transition where you lose Bob Stoops, who'd been head coach since 1999, and David Boren, who'd been there even longer. So it's certainly an interesting time for that university.
Speaking of Texas, we saw them in Ames last night, that 17-7 win over Iowa State. What are the early returns on Tom Herman taking over in Austin?
Yeah, I think Tom's done a nice job since that first game. It's interesting to me that watching them against USC and then against Iowa State, which, you know, did well, obviously you guys know against Iowa, their offense put up some points. I think that Texas is maybe becoming a defense-driven team this season. I think that's where their stronger unit is. That's where they have more experience. I don't think the pieces on offense necessarily fit what Tom is going to do long-term there. And coaches have told me that. You know, their offensive line is just average, and they lost their best player, Connor Williams. Their wide receivers are okay. Running backs are pretty good. Quarterbacks are good, but I don't know if they necessarily fit Tom's system. So I think this is going to be a team that's going to rely on its defensive line and then on the secondary to take away the ball as they've been doing lately. I think they're a team that could give a team, someone like Oklahoma, some trouble. Oklahoma State, very interested to see how that defense fares against Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, some of the top quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Speaking of Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph, TCU handled Mason Rudolph and Oklahoma State last week. Are they a legitimate contender? Could they give Oklahoma problems and contend in that Big 12 conference?
Without a doubt, and it's because of their improvement on the defensive side, which you expected. The Gary Patterson defenses rarely stay down for very long. I know he was excited about the experience they have on their defensive line. You can see that certainly in the game against Oklahoma State. And then on offense, you know, talking to Oklahoma State's defensive coordinator last week, he said that the explosiveness in the run game is apparent and different than what they've had at least in the last few years. You know, when Kyle Hicks gets healthy and it's a 1-2 punch with him and Darius Anderson, that's going to be a very difficult running attack to stop, especially when Kenny Hill is making plays at quarterback and not making mistakes. So that's an interesting offense, and I think one that can certainly you know, hang with a team like Oklahoma, but it's the defense that I think is the one that the unit that could push TCU over the top.
I know you wrote about it a couple days ago, Adam, but you believe that the coaching carousel is going to start spinning shortly in college football. For people who haven't read your article at ESPN.com yet, who do you think are on the hottest seats at this point?
Well, you know, I've been told by a lot of people in the industry that it's probably going to emanate from the SEC, which isn't a huge surprise. And you know, Kevin Sumlin, we know, is on the hot seat at Texas A&M, and he's done a nice job after that first loss to at least win some games. They got to keep winning to prevent that talk from happening, even though, you know, he's got a young team and maybe should be given at least a few more games to get things sorted out. I think he deserves that, especially if they win this weekend against South Carolina. You know, then you look at the Pac-12 as well. You look, Todd Graham, certainly at Arizona State, is on the hot seat. We already talked about Mike Riley at Nebraska. I think Rich Rodriguez still has something to prove this year with a new athletic director to get things sorted out. And then, you know, there's teams like Auburn and Tennessee that are 3-1 right now, but, you know, have had their bumps along the way. And I think Tennessee is a very interesting situation because Butch Jones, you heard about, you know, I saw his comments on Monday about fake news and clearly upset with the media there. It just seems like every week is more stress on him and that program. They have Georgia coming in on Saturday, and that's a big game, and there's some big games to follow. He's clearly improved the program, guys, but it doesn't seem like they're in a position to take that next step and really contend in the SEC East. They should have won the division last year, and for various reasons, they couldn't get it done. And then at Auburn, you know, Gus Malzahn, it's about that offense. You know, they've got this really, really good defense right now, one of the best defenses in the country. But can you trust that offense, which is Gus Malzahn's baby, to get it done against some of these better SEC defenses? They have Mississippi State on Saturday, and that's a good test, even though Mississippi State struggled against Georgia. That's a good defense. So I'm very interested to see if that Auburn offense can get going. If it can, I'd expect Gus to get off the hot seat. But that division, the SEC West and the Pac-12 South, with UCLA also struggling mightily, Jim Mora, I think, is coaching for his job at some point this season. Those are the two areas to watch.
Speaking of the Pac-12, a big matchup in that conference this weekend. Do you think that Mike Leach, Washington State, and Luke Falk have a chance against a USC team, despite the fact that they have Sam Darnold and Ronald Jones? They've struggled to find a little bit of consistency offensively this year.
Yeah, they absolutely have a chance. Very hard to win at Martin Stadium, you know, especially a Friday night. Kind of weird, a little different. And, no, they're a good team. You know, they play good defense. Alex Grinch, their coordinator, has done a really nice job elevating their defense the last few years. They run the ball. They can run the ball. They have multiple options at running back. They have not run the ball particularly well this year, despite a fairly easy schedule. And they have a terrific quarterback, as you mentioned, in Luke Falk, who can throw it around the field. I would say this, though, going into that game tonight. USC, yes, they've looked shaky at times, but they've also had no off weeks. They've had no easy games as far as opponents. Western Michigan, Stanford, Texas, and then Cal. Whereas Washington State has not been challenged other than the Boise State team that I don't think is very good. So I lean towards USC tonight just because they're the more challenged team. They've been through more than Washington State has. Washington State's really going to have to elevate its play against this team versus the first four teams.
All right, Adam, before we let you go, I want to swing it back to the Hawkeyes. They've got a big game in East Lansing tomorrow against Michigan State. First time these two teams have played since 2015 in the Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on the Hawkeyes so far this season? They certainly showed quite well against Penn State on national TV last week.
You know, I've been impressed. I think, you know, the first three games, it was really the defense. The offense that stood out, and then at times it was the defense. You look at the Wyoming game and what they did to Josh Allen and that offense, but I've been impressed with Nathan Stanley. You know, last week was not the offense's best showing. They were able to put together a drive to take the lead, but they're going to have to be better on the road against Michigan State. And then defensively, if they can replicate that game plan, I certainly like their chances against the Spartans. I think Phil Parker had an excellent plan for that Penn State offense. You know, Saquon Barkley is going to get his yards, but Penn State could not get in the end zone until the very last play of the game, really. So, I like this Iowa team. If they can just, you know, keep it together and not let that heartbreaking ending beat them 2 weeks instead of just one, I do like their chances against Michigan State, which is, you know, still kind of feeling its way out after a disastrous season. You know, Brian Lewerke has been a pretty good dual threat quarterback, but he had a mistake-ridden game last week against Notre Dame. So I like Iowa's chances in this one, and if they can get over to East Lansing and get a win, I think that they're certainly the team that should challenge Wisconsin most in the division.
What game are you going to be covering tomorrow, Adam?
I don't really cover games anymore. That's a different deal now. So I kind of sit at home and watch everything around the country.
I thought maybe they were going to send you to one of the big games, or you'd lobby to be at that Northwestern Wisconsin game tomorrow.
No, yeah, not even that one. Yeah, no, it's a different role to not be at games, and I definitely miss it. But there's certainly value in seeing the whole country. When you're at a game, you miss a lot. So no, it's fine being here and try to watch everything going on Big Ten and elsewhere.
I agree with you on that. And by the way, I also agree with you. It's time for the Bears to turn to Mitch Trubisky, but that's probably another 20-minute segment. We appreciate the time, Adam. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com at 5:23. Another big board update on the way, and plenty more news to get to today. Louisville has named the temporary successor to Rick Pitino as that scandal continues to burn out of control in college basketball. We'll talk plenty more about Iowa State's loss to Texas last night. Get you ready at 6 o'clock tonight for tomorrow's game with the Hawkeyes and Spartans in East Lansing. And, of course, take your texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Don't put off your paving project any longer. Cooler weather will be here sooner than you think. Pate Asphalt handles commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
Malpractice is a medical term, right? Actually, it's not. It's a plumber's word. A daycare in your home word. It means whatever you do for a living, if it goes wrong for somebody else, it can cost you big dollars. Luckily, professional liability insurance can save your bacon. And at Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person who will make it simple to get. Meet yours at youhaveaperson.com. Skogman Carlson Insurance, supported by Integrity Insurance.
Travel back to our future during the Swamp Fox Festival in Marion, now through Sunday. Today, watch Back to the Future on the big screen in Lyle Park. Tomorrow starts with a 5K run walk, pancake breakfast, and Swamp Fox Parade following a new route. Stop by the Fall Marion Market too. And that afternoon, head to Lyle Park for food, live music, games, and fireworks at dusk. And Sunday, it's the Classic Car Cruise Inn at Thomas Park. Don't miss the Swamp Fox Festival, now through Sunday. It's free. Details at cityofmarion.org/swampfox.
Welcome back in, 5:26, almost to the halfway point. Time flies when you're having fun, and that's exactly what we're doing here at Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City as the KGYM road trip continues on until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football on the way for you, including a pair of games, and here to tell you more about that and a whole lot more, Kyle Mann with your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Kinnick Edge campaign was announced 9 months ago as an effort to renovate the north end of Kinnick Stadium, and the university announced today that donors have already raised $14 million, more than halfway to the $25 million goal. The north end was last renovated in 1983, and this $89 million project will add premium seating, a club room, and video board, and is scheduled to be completed prior to the 2019 season. Iowa State fell to the Texas Longhorns 17-7 last night. Quarterback Jacob Park struggled, going 24 of 48 with three picks. Meanwhile, former quarterback turned linebacker Joel Lanning led the defense with a game-high 20 tackles. The defense was okay, but the Cyclone offense never found its feet, an issue highlighted by running back David Montgomery getting just 13 touches in the game. The Rough Riders lost 3-2 to Sioux City last night in the Fall Classic in Pennsylvania. They had a quick turnaround for their final preseason game at noon today. They dropped that one as well, 5-4 at the hands of Sioux Falls. After the show today, it's Friday, and that means high school football. We'll have Scott Unash on the call as Marion hosts Centerpoint Urbana. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Alex Kuhn in Solon as the Spartans host Fort Madison on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Alex Kuhn, do you know him?
Never heard of him. Sounds like a real jerk.
Oh, I'd say he's a pretty nice guy. I don't know. We'll see. That is on tap for you tonight. We mentioned Louisville with an interim basketball coach now that Rick Pitino is on the outs. It's David Padgett, a 32-year-old former Louisville player who has been on Rick Pitino's staff the last couple years. And seems to be some interesting stuff out there about him as well. He played professionally in the Canary Islands, and Louisville landed a player from that particular location the year before he joined Pitino's staff. So, as you said, we were talking a couple minutes ago during the commercial break, you're hard-pressed to find somebody around that program that's probably squeaky clean at this point, but it looks like Louisville is not going to go the route of bringing somebody in from the outside. A Tom Crean, his name was thrown around quite a bit. Now, maybe long-term, who knows, but interim, they'll go in-house this year.
It always makes me feel old when I remember a certain player, and now he's a head coach of a program. And David Padgett, remember his time playing for the University of He did play for the Louisville. I'm trying to. I remember the name. I remember him being a small forward. But yeah, whenever that happens, like Scott Frost, that just makes me feel old. Even though I'm not yet 30. I'm pushing 30.
Well, yeah, and then some days you'll be sitting here and you'll be doing reads for testosterone treatments, and then you'll feel a little bit older. No, it happens to all of us. Trust me on that one. It's a halfway point. I believe you're going to be departing here shortly for Solon and high school football. I'll fly solo from here on out. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is going to join me on the phone at 6 o'clock tonight, though. Rob making his way east to Michigan State, where the Hawkeyes will take on the Spartans tomorrow. The big hour is just 30 minutes away. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll talk all things Hawkeyes and Spartans, as well as take a look around the Big Ten, including that game in Champaign tonight between the Huskers and the Fighting Illini. Baseball talk next with Jack Dom.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Bloomsbury Farm. Hold your corporate or group get-together at Bloomsbury Farm. They're continually evolving with new experiences. Start planning your event now at bloomsburyfarm.com.
Bloomsbury Farm is a breath of fresh air for any event. It's where groups gather and teams get stronger. Bloomsbury Farm is continually evolving with new experiences, so it's a natural for your corporate, family, or friend get-together. From festive party barns and cozy wine tastings to their exhilarating dual zip line and team-building events, their exceptional staff will help you plan every detail. Friendship grows down on the farm. Bloomsbury Farm, just a short drive to Atkins. Start planning your event at bloomsburyfarm.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. What an offseason it has been for the NBA. Their regular season will tip on October 17th, and they still continue to dominate the headlines. Today, it is Russell Westbrook. He signs his Supermax contract extension to remain with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Westbrook signing a five-year, $205 million contract extension. That brings the contract that he is under with Oklahoma City to 6 years, $233 million, the richest contract in the history of the NBA. Westbrook was presented the offer on July 1st. He had yet to sign it, which created a little consternation among those in Oklahoma City. But fear not, he is staying with the Thunder through 2022-23. Baseball this afternoon, Masahiro Tanaka, brilliant. 15 strikeouts, a career high over seven shutout innings. Yankees bank the Blue Jays 4-0. They remain alive in the race for the American League East title. Boston's magic number is one still.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Hi, I'm Paul. I used to ask if you could hear me now with Verizon, but I switched to Sprint. Oh. Hang on a second. This just in, I have an important announcement. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Beware. Don't get hooked. Stop paying twice as much for unlimited with Verizon. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for four lines and get the fifth line free. If you're looking for relief from Verizon, immediately visit your closest Sprint store, sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Don't get hooked into paying twice as much with Verizon. Sprint. Works for me.
Savings until 10/31/18. Then $38 per line per month for five lines with AutoPay. Excludes taxes, surcharges, and roaming. Streams video out of HD 1080p. Music to 1.5 megabits per second. Gaming up to 8 megabits per second. Subject to credit $30 activation fee. Prohibited network use rules and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited for five lines. Carrier features differ. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 502 regular taper fit and 514 straight fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at jcp.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at jcp.com for details.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
5:35. Welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, halfway home. Big thanks going out to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. He joined me a couple minutes ago talking all things college football. You can check out Adam on Twitter, read his stuff at ESPN.com. We'll get you inside Iowa and Michigan State, the big matchup tomorrow at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing, set for a 3 o'clock kickoff with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. The big hour right around the corner, coming your way in about 25 minutes, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, right here on Highway 1 West in Iowa City, not too far away from Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub. The game tomorrow, by the way, on Fox, for those of you that are not making the trip east to Spartan Stadium. 3:12 is the established kickoff time, according to the TV networks. One Big Ten game on tap tonight. It's a 7 o'clock start on FS1. Nebraska travels to Illinois, so a couple Big Ten West teams in action. Cubs played earlier today and came from behind. Used a 3-run home run by Ian Happ to beat the Cincinnati Reds in the opener of a 3-game series, their final 3 regular season games of the year at Wrigley Field. And then it's on to the postseason, where they'll most likely take on the Washington Nationals. Here now to talk all things baseball with me, Mount Mercy's Jack Dom. We like to call this segment Touching All Bases. And Jack, the Cubs did it. First time ever in franchise history they've qualified for the postseason 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's very impressive what they've done. And I know the first half, a lot of the Cubs fans were extremely worried about the way that they were playing. But, you know, they played great baseball at the end. And as we've talked about numerous times, Todd, they just play very well when they're backed up against the wall. You know, the previous 2 years, the experience they've gained, even though they're a young ball club, they've been able to respond very well in tough situations. And it's very impressive with what they've done. They were expected to win, and they were able to come out that second half and play some really good baseball.
Help me set the postseason rotation here if you're Joe Maddon. What direction would you head in trying to line things up for this series that's going to start next Monday at Wrigley Field?
You know what? I don't have all the data that he would have. I know a lot of people are talking about Lester going first, then Arrieta. You know, right now I just feel a little more comfortable with Arrieta, but yet at the same time I'd like to split up the righties and lefties. So I would actually go with Arrieta first and then Lester second and then Kyle Hendricks third, just because I also think that Hendricks is probably their a better number three guy than Quintana. You know, Quintana's throwing the ball well, but he's not experienced in the postseason. So I would have to go with Arrieta first. I think Joe Maddon might go with Lester. My biggest concern about the Nationals are the speed that they have. They're able to steal a lot of bases, and so it's going to be an interesting matchup.
One of the names you didn't mention there, we were talking about Cubs pitchers, John Lackey. It came out the other night, Wednesday in St. Louis, as the Cubs were celebrating clinching the division, that Lackey was probably going to retire after the season is over. What would you do if you were John Lackey? 38 years old, he still thinks he's got some gas left in the tank. Would you fish for maybe a one-year deal, or would you ride off into the sunset having qualified for the postseason again this year?
It very well could be how the Cubs do here in postseason. If they make it and win the World Series, that would be a great way to go out. And depending on what type of role he plays in postseason play, and you know, he might be one of those guys that waits to decide if he's going to retire or not. He had a very good second half. He's a tough competitor, and you know, he might have already told, it almost sounds like he told Lester already he was going to retire, but he could still make a few million dollars. So you never know about John Lackey. He's not lacking for confidence, that's for sure. He's one of the most confident and tough-minded people out there. So I think he'll probably wait until partway through the offseason to decide what he's going to do.
Taking a look at the rest of the National League Central, we mentioned the Cardinals at 82-77. They are officially eliminated from the wild card. Milwaukee still has an outside shot with 2 games back of Colorado for the wild card, but realistically, we're looking at an NL West versus NL West wild card, right?
I think so. It's a pretty. They're going to have to win all 3, basically. You know, I don't see. the Rockies, I believe, will win a game against the Dodgers. I believe that they're playing, so and their magic number's down to, I want to say it's one, and so I think it's pretty much going to be the Rockies and Arizona in the postseason, in the wild card.
Talking all things Major League Baseball with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach. Let's keep it in the National League here. I know we've got at least one listener here at Carl and Ernie's that wants to know what you think the St. Louis Cardinals should do this offseason. They've had a tremendous run, but ever since the Cubs bounced them out of the postseason in 2015, they seem to be lacking a little bit, and they've fallen behind the Cubs. This is a big offseason for the folks in St. Louis. What direction do you think they're going to head?
They need to go out and spend some money. I think that's the biggest thing. Even before the season started, the Cardinal fans were upset that they feel like they're falling behind because they're not going out and spending money. It's public record that they're doing very well financially with the crowds that they get and financially. So they need to go out and make a not one big splash, but they need to go out and sign a few free agents. They've still got some young guys. Some of those young pitchers look pretty good here in the postseason, at the end of the season. So I think you're going to see them make a splash and probably go out and sign two or three guys. They're going to try to get that pitching staff a little bit younger. Wainwright and Waka have been absolutely tremendous for the Cardinals, and they'll probably still be a part of the organization, but they need some young guys around them.
Jack, let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota Twins. Going from having the number one overall pick in the draft last year to qualifying for the wild card, chances are they're going to face the New York Yankees, which have been an adversary for them during the regular season and the postseason. But when you look at the Twins, how did they do that this year?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's absolutely amazing. You don't know to this day, a lot of people don't know their roster. But really what they did is they went back to playing good Minnesota Twins baseball like they had with Pat Kelly. And, Paul Molitor does a great job. He's been there, he's been there a couple of years, and he made a good run his first year. They had a down year last year. And, again, they didn't spend a lot of money on the free agent market. And guys had good years. And then Dozier is just a rock-solid guy and seems like a great leader in the clubhouse. They had some young guys step up. And it's very impressive with what they've done. And, we really haven't talked about the Twins the entire season. And, that's the amazing part. I think everybody just assumed that they would fall flat on their face at some point or come up just short. But anytime they had to win a game, they did. They won games late. They got good, solid pitching. They hit for power. And, it's kind of the old Twins formula. And it was very, very impressive.
Miguel Sano is coming off the disabled list. They say there is a chance that he's going to be available for the wild card game. Big-time power, special player, hasn't swung a bat in a long time. Do you think that would be a wise move on the Twins' part, or do you sort of roll with who got you there?
Well, I tell you what, we watched the situation last year with Kyle Schwarber and the Chicago Cubs, so I think everybody's probably going to approach it a little bit differently right now because of what Schwarber did. Sano is such a talented guy. Probably depends what he looks like and when he's taking BP here over the next couple of days. It's pretty tough if you have an opportunity to have Sano in your lineup. If he's swinging the bat good in practice, it'd be tough not to have him in the lineup. The thing is, you could always have him come up in a pinch hitting situation. That would be an interesting decision that they have to make. But Kyle Schwarber's really changed how people are going to look at coming out in postseason after not playing for 6 months, or 6 weeks, 7 weeks, or the entire season.
All right, Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins had hit 58 and 59 the other day. If he gets to 62 in the regular season, how do you look at that number and what he accomplished?
I think it's an incredible feat. I still personally don't look at him as a home run champion, because that number by Bonds is out there. But what he's done is absolutely incredible. And, that's a tough call right there. But I'd put it down as one of the greatest home run seasons in the history of baseball. I would put an asterisk by it and say, hey, it would have been the all-time. You know, I think there's a lot of asterisks in the record books nowadays, but that's tough. You know, what Barry Bonds did, Barry Bonds is still the greatest player I've seen before steroids, during steroids, and he was a special guy. His number was because of the steroid situation was more because of when he played, and he had pressure, and he was frustrated with what other people were doing. That doesn't make it right, but I think it's got an asterisk next to it as one of the greatest power year, home run years, but Barry Bonds still has that number.
We've seen was a couple that managerial enough for vacancies. Yeah. We've seen a couple managerial vacancies open up so far. Brad Ausmus is out in Detroit. The Phillies announced today that Pete Mackanen is going to move upstairs into an advisory role. What do you think the chances are that we may see our old friend Bo Porter get a look to get another crack managing this offseason?
You know what, that's a good question. You know, I talked to Bo recently after everything that happened down in Houston, and, you know, he's become more of a front office guy. He's got a lot of things going on off the field. I'm sure he would love to get back into managing if he had an opportunity. I think what Houston did with him, where he came in when they're very young and structure and, you know, a team that was still a few years away from winning, I think somebody would be very interested in Bo. But I still think it's a long shot, you know, just because of, you know, I think a lot of people will probably try to keep somebody from inside the organization who can do that. So I don't anticipate Bo getting a managerial spot. I hope he does. I think he's a great baseball guy, but he might have moved on and be more of a front office guy, and then he's got a lot of stuff with his foundation, which he's done some great things down in Houston. With everything going on, he's raised a lot of money and brought a lot of stuff up for the Houston area with the hurricane situation.
Yeah, was he affected at all? Do you know?
He was. His house was okay, but I know the area he was around. He, his foundation did a ton of stuff for the people around Houston. But I think everything with Bo was good. You know, he was in an area that wasn't affected by as far as any of the major flooding. So, you know, I think he put everything towards trying to help people who are struggling and through the Bo Porter Foundation. And if I'm not mistaken, I think wasn't he behind the Iowa for Houston with the T-shirts that they were selling at the football game? I think he had a part to do with that, Houston Strong or whatever it said. So he's done a lot of great things, you know, in the community and got Iowa involved down in Houston with the flooding.
Jack, we appreciate you taking the time to join us as always. And next week, we're going to have a little postseason baseball to be talking about. I don't know whether we'll be back at Coach's Corner, whether we'll be here at Carl and Ernie's, but we look forward to our conversation as always.
I can't wait, and hopefully I'm there with you, and looking forward to watching those Cubbies and everything else. This is the best time of the year, I think you'd agree, Todd, with college football, professional football, and also the playoffs. I love this time of the year, and look forward to talking with you next week.
Yeah, hey, before we let you go, I got lucky. I got in today and was able to get two tickets for Game 1 of the National League Divisional Series for the Cubs and most likely the Nationals, but I may have a hard time getting off work just because of what time of year it is. It'd be a Monday. Do you think you can put in a good word for me with the boss? I know he's listening right now. That's kind of a big deal. I should probably use those tickets, right?
Well, maybe if that second ticket goes to him, he might think about doing that. So if you take him with you, I bet you he might be a little bit easier on you. I know he kind of likes the Nationals a little bit.
The thought has crossed my mind. We'll see. Hopefully I can. Well, then I got to talk to the other boss about being able to go to the game. That probably won't go as well. Jack, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Go Hawks this weekend.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom touching all the bases with us every week throughout the baseball season. right up through the World Series, which is hard to believe, but next week the calendar is going to turn to October, and we'll just have a couple weeks left of baseball before we're all in on football. But that's not going to last very long either, because I just got an email a couple days ago from the University of Iowa about men's and women's basketball media day and wrestling media day as well. So the seasons start to overlap, everything blends together, and it's hard to believe. I don't know whether you feel the same way as I do or not, but I cannot believe that we are already a quarter of the way through the college football season. Sometimes you got to stop and pinch yourself, but the Hawkeyes heading east to East Lansing to take on Michigan State tomorrow. We're going to get inside that matchup with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. He's going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes. Rob's on the road tonight to East Lansing or Okemos or wherever he stays when he travels to East Lansing. I stayed in Okemos one time at a Holiday Inn Express, no joke, and wound up there was no entertainment anywhere in the neighborhood that evening, but there was a wedding reception next door, and I'm not necessarily very proud of this, but I crashed the wedding reception, and it was a cash bar. I wasn't drinking for free that night, but was able to have a little bit of a good time thanks to, I don't even remember the couple's names, but it's probably for the better. I kept a very low profile that night. Iowa's played some good games in East Lansing over the years, and vice versa. Budding rivalry. These two teams have played a lot, and they don't play all that often now that the East-West crossover is in effect. We mentioned earlier this will be the last time the Spartans are on Iowa's schedule until the 2020 season, when Rocky Lombardi and Michigan State visit Kinnick Stadium. Rocky Lombardi, the former Cedar Rapidian, moved to Des Moines, and they are saying some really, really complimentary things about him in East Lansing. I know George Blaha, the play-by-play voice of the Spartans, was on the gym class with Scott and Mark earlier in the week. And there's a good chance that Rocky Lombardi is going to be the quarterback of the future there for the Spartans. 5:52, we'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have another big board update for you and look around some of the headlines in the sports world today. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming your way on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, back after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Here at Toyota of Iowa City, we're winding down the 2017 model year. Because of the fantastic deals we're making on the remaining 2017 models, they'll be gone before you know it. Don't wait until it's too late. In addition to the great deal Toyota of Iowa City has for you, there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on all new 2017 RAV4s, plus a $1,000 cash bonus on all gas models, or an optional $3,000 cash on all hybrid models. Come on in and take advantage of these savings and maybe get yourself an all-wheel drive so you can be well prepared for winter. Choose the Toyota you want, because there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on most of our remaining 2017 models. It's the perfect time. Come see us at Toyota of Iowa City and let's make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
Through October 2nd, 0% financing for 72 months with qualifying credit through Toyota Financial Services. $1,339 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Own your man motions this season. Scream at a fumble, get misty at the Hail Mary pass, or ugly cry when your draft team tanks. Which won't judge. They'll just show up with boxed lunches, mini sandwiches, pasta salads, wraps, trays of sweets, whatever you order, and bring it right to your football watch party or tailgate. Which Superior Sandwiches, catering to the emotional football fans up and down the corridor. Place your catering order for the next home game now at whichwich.com.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Welcome back. 5:57 and quick in, quick out. We send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Kinnick Edge campaign was announced 9 months ago as an effort to renovate the north end of Kinnick Stadium. And the University of Iowa announced today that donors have already raised $14 million, more than halfway to the $25 million goal. The north end was last renovated in 1983, and this $89 million project will add premium seating, a club room, and video board, and is scheduled to be completed prior to the 2019 season. Iowa State fell to the Texas Longhorns 17-7 last night. Quarterback Jacob Park struggled, going 24 of 48 with three picks. Meanwhile, former quarterback turned linebacker Joel Lanning led the defense with a game-high 20 tackles. The defense was all right, but the Cyclone offense never found its feet, an issue highlighted by running back David Montgomery getting just 13 touches in the game. The Rough Riders lost 3-2 to Sioux City last night in the Fall Classic in Pennsylvania. They had a quick turnaround for their final preseason game at noon today. They dropped that one as well, 5-4 at the hands of Sioux Falls. After the show today, it's Friday, and that means high school football. We'll have Scott Unash on the call as Marion hosts Centerpoint Urbana. That's going to be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Alex Kuhn and Solon as the Spartans host Fort Madison on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go. The big hour, to be exact, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West here in Iowa City. We'll kick it off next with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com as we talk Iowa and Michigan State from the road to East Lansing. Back with more after this.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the...